Why does everybody in your neighborhood drive cars from the 1930s, by the way?
That was a truck.
Not one of those you had to stick a lever in and spin it around to start the engine. Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
That was a big truck.
Hello. You're listening to Brazil Nuts, an insane journey through the world of Brazilian politics, with your host, Larissa Peixoto, political scientist, and Gareth Davis, the original Coupon King of South Wales. Coming up in this episode, Gareth tells the tale of Old Nick, the Statue of Satan in Swansea Shopping Centre, and Larissa gets all showy-offy about her in-depth knowledge of space operas. Thank you for listening. I got into the habit of, when my daughter was very, very small, not to swear. And so I just make up combinations of words that sound slightly curse words, like, oh, you bottom on a biscuit, and things like that, right? Which doesn't make any sense. The problem is that it kind of stuck. And now I just say random words together when I'm swearing at things. Like, I will just sit there and go, oh, tits on a fish and things like that.
Yeah,
and just,
tits is still not a good word to say around a child.
I mean, sure, no, but this is when my child isn't around me, I still do it. That's my problem. I cannot curse like a normal person anymore.
Of course, the children I am most in the presence of, we are allowed to curse. They are not, and they understand that these are adult words and they are not allowed to say them, and we are.
Yep.
But once my younger nephew he said a bad word, and I told him that he couldn't say, because he was talking about somebody else, and I said, you can't say that. And he's like, but that's what he is. And I said, fine, but you can't say it. Why can't I? Well, you can say it in front of me and your mommy, but you can't say it in front of your dad, okay? And he said, okay, because his dad is not great. So he understood that if he said it in front of his dad, he was going to get yelled at. But in front of me and his mom is fine because, you know, a dickhead is a dickhead and you just can't really dance your way around that.
That's true. That's true. Was he talking about Bolsonaro at the time then in that case, or was it...
No, we stopped talking about politics around him for a while, especially when he was a little younger, because it was giving him a bit of anxiety. So a few years ago, and he was like maybe 5 or 6, and he started crying. I think it was when Bolsonaro won, so maybe it wasn't that long ago. Oh, I can't remember. I have really bad memory. But one day he was crying and saying, oh, they're stealing my future, mommy. And so we realized that maybe we were, you know, saying stuff that he wasn't ready for. Especially because his older brother is very politicized and can talk like a grown-up about politics, even though he is very young. So we realized that, you know, these two kids are different and maybe we should treat them accordingly.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, though, I often find myself crying about politics just, you know, in the shower.
In your room with a shot of whiskey.
In the shower, mostly, with a shot of whiskey. But... I like how we've started this out on a depressing note as well. We normally build up to that, really.
Well, because today's an inverted episode, so
that's
you
true.
Know.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Today is an inverted episode because I am terribly busy and could not prepare something
or be bothered to. Really, honestly, she treats this place like a hotel. We've had to kind of do a different thing for this episode. Sometimes we do this where normally what happens with these podcasts is Larissa will spend a couple of days preparing to talk about
something. A couple of days?
I didn't want to sound like...
Try a couple of weeks.
All right, Michael Crichton, calm down. The point is... So Larissa will spend a couple of weeks doing research on a subject, And it obviously we'll talk about it then for length and length and length and length and length and so on. And my job very much is to go, ooh, occasionally. And I'm the asking questions one, basically. If you want to put this in an analogy of Doctor Who terms, then Larissa is the doctor and I'm the one who points at things and goes, but surely that can't be right. And then Larissa reverses the polarity and everything's fine in the end.
The neutron flow.
Nerd. Anyway. Anyway, this week we're doing something slightly different simply because Larissa has decided that she's, you know, she just couldn't be bothered to do this episode. So
no, that is not it. I have a deadline to keep and I didn't have time to prepare anything for this week. I very much wanted to, but I didn't have time.
So we're going to do a mini episode, and the mini episode will be one of my things that we're going to talk about. And it could be, and because I know nothing about Brazil, it's not going to be about Brazil at all whatsoever.
Okay, so what are we talking about today?
Okay, so today, well, because I was thinking back to the first time we kind of did a mini episode, and the first time we did one was about Tardy Watsits, the statue in
your place.
That's the one. Yeah, him. Good old dentist that looked like Emilio Estevez. So I thought, well, what we should do is talk about a statue from my hometown, especially as statues are kind of in the news at the moment. And this all starts with a church, and it's a church that is slap bang in the middle of Swansea, in Swansea city centre, and it's called St. Mary's Church, because when it came to naming churches, originality went completely out the window. This church is an Anglican church. It was built somewhere in the region of 1328. That's as far as records of it go back to. It's very old. Very old church. And it survived for hundreds of years. But in the late 1800s, it was kind of looking a bit rickety, a bit worn down, as your churches tend to be. And so a decision
after
was made.
After 500 years?
Yeah, exactly, absolutely. I mean, to be fair, speaking as a man who has gone through several decades himself already, I feel its pain. I really do. I make sounds now when I move. It's not pleasant.
He does. I've heard them. They're scary.
And exciting. Anyway, so in 1896, it was decided that the church itself would be demolished and rebuilt. And so the local council at the time decided to take in various different bids from architects all around Britain, the design of which would be used to rebuild this church. It was eventually awarded, the contract itself was eventually awarded to a man named Sir Arthur Blomfield. Who was very, very famous architect in his day and actually designed the Royal College of Music in London.
I have heard his name.
Yeah. It's a beautiful, beautiful building, the Royal College of Music. So this design then was used for St. Mary's Church and it was built and so on. Now, here's where the story gets a bit... How best to describe it? You know how sometimes history is obviously made up?
How do you mean?
Well, you know how sometimes there's something that everybody accepts as a fact? Like, for example, Jesus was white. Even when it couldn't possibly have been true.
Yes.
Right, okay. This is one of those things. Because the story goes that when they awarded the contract to Sir Arthur Blomfield, a local architect whose name
conspicuously is absent from any record at all that I can find anywhere, in any shape or form. A local architect was very miffed about this and extremely unhappy that it should have gone to that English bastard Blomfield rather than, you know, good old Taffy Muck Jenkins and his architectural knowledge bonds. Anyway, so he swears revenge on St. Mary's Church in particular. Not the local council, obviously, and not apparently Sir Arthur Blomfield himself, but the church itself he was angry with.
That makes no sense.
Exactly. Right, see what I mean? Do you see what I mean? This is nonsense. But this, if you read up about this, this is the story that you will read again and again and again and again and again. Even though, like I said before, the architect in question's name has never been recorded anywhere, ever, as far as I can see. So, what happens is about 40 years after St. Mary's Church is built, again, there's no dates for any of this at all. There's no exact dates for it. The only exact dates you get are the dates where actual things happened, like St. Mary's Church being built, for example. So, about 40 years later, the lot opposite St. Mary's Church comes up for auction. So, a bunch of buildings opposite St. Mary's Church comes up for auction. They're bought by the disgruntled architect. They're demolished. They're rebuilt to house a brewery. Okay? And on top of this building, they fit a statue of the devil. Facing, staring directly at St. Mary's Church.
Okay, so this nameless architect...
I think we've settled on the fact that his name is Taffy McJenkins at this point.
Okay, Taffy is actually really, really wealthy enough to buy a whole bunch of plots with buildings on them, demolish them. For some reason, he decides to build a brewery instead of anything else that he could have built. He could have just built a huge pole and stuck the devil on top of it, but no, he builds a whole business. So he puts in this business, not an architecture firm.
No.
Not a building site, something that makes bricks or whatever.
Yeah.
Beer. Yeah. Okay. Who doesn't love a good beer? And then he puts the devil on top of it. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm with you so far.
Now, I would like to say that if you want to see a big pole with a devil on top of it, I have some home movies that you might be interested in. Secondly, physically it's true. There was a building there with a statue of the devil on top of it that stared directly into St. Mary's Church. What I think happened, though, genuinely, is that somebody built the building, found a statue of the devil somewhere and thought, oh, this will be funny, and stuck it on top of it. And that was the end of it. Anyway, so the devil stares at St. Mary's Church and stays there for about 50 years or so until...
Nobody cared?
Well, I mean, the people who attended St. Mary's Church cared, and they protested against it, petitioning to have it taken down, but it never was. It was just left there on top of the building. Because most people in Swansea treated it in the same way that they treat everything, which is, it's funny, isn't it? And then just went on.
That's a good spirit to have.
Yeah, that's how we treat most things round our way. It's like, oh, look at that. Weird. And anything could happen. We could be invaded by aliens tomorrow and we'd have exactly the same response to it. Oh, look! Tentacles! You know, it's that's what we would do. So, this is until 1941, February 1941, when... What happens in February 1941? That's right, Jalea.
Something to do with the World War II, I'm guessing.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, Swansea was hit by the German Blitz in February 1941. And it leveled Swansea. Like, completely destroyed everything. To the point where that... We're still rebuilding it now. To this point, we've never really recovered from the fact the Blitz happened. The one building in downtown Swansea that was left unscathed by the Blitz was
Napoleon with the Devil.
That's right. The building with old Nick sitting proudly on top of it. St. Mary's Church, for the record, was absolutely leveled. There was nothing left of it other than rubble and dust.
That is amazing.
Uh-huh, indeed, absolutely. Now, the Devil stayed there until 1962. St. Mary's Church, it took another 15 years to rebuild, at which point they used the original architectural design from Sir Arthur Bomfield. So they rebuilt the church. The Devil itself stayed on top of the building, at which point was an antique shop, no longer a brewery. Until 1962... The owners of the antique shop sold it and went to do something else.
Oh, they sold the shop?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought they sold the Devil.
No. They sold the shop itself and then went off to do something else, at which point the new owner decided to pull down the building and rebuild it again. And at which point the statue of Old Nick was lost for good.
Lost? Or?
So they thought.
Is it in your basement? It's in your basement, isn't it, Gary?
It's actually pinned to the ceiling of my bedroom. I like...
watching over you?
I like looking at it, staring it directly in the eyes while doing all my bedtime activities. There's...
Damn it. Why do I say things?
So, the Devil was lost completely. Now, it turns out that 1962, the building itself is pulled down. The Devil is lost for good.
Yes.
Or so they thought. Because it turns out that the family that owned the antique store had taken it with them. When they moved from Swansea to, of all places, Gloucester. Now, in the 80s, nearly 80s, a local historian called Rawley Davis decided that he was going to track down the statue of Old Nick and put an advert in the local paper asking people if they had any knowledge or whereabouts of the statue of the Devil. It turns out a local man who had been born in Manselton and was about 15 years old in 1956 when he used to walk past the building with the Devil every day, staring directly at St. Mary's Church, had been friends with the son of the antique shop owners and had seen the statue in their garage. But, get this. This man had since moved to Germany.
Okay.
Where he'd gone for work. And had only come back that day to visit his family. When he happened to pick up the local newspaper and see the call for, if you have any information about this statue... So on, so forth. So he gets in touch with Rawley Davis. Rawley Davis gets in touch with the family of the antique shop.
Also, a great name, by the way.
Rawley Davis. I love that name. I'm going to keep saying it over and over and over again, just to make sure. In my mind, he is very much the Indiana Jones of Swansea. Just going about places, wearing a hat, whipping things. That's what he's doing. Yeah. He's having a great time, is Rawley Davis. In his youth, obviously. Hunting down devils and, I don't know, anything else culturally significant that comes from Swansea. There's not much, honestly. You know, maybe maybe a three-eyed sheep or something. Anyway, so Raleigh Davis gets in touch with the antique shop owners. They put him in touch with their son. Their son confirms that he has this statue in his garage. Raleigh Davis says, I have somebody who would like to buy that statue from you. The son agrees and sells the statue for £300.
Okay.
He sells it to C&A. The store. It's a store. Or was, anyway. Okay. Back in the 1980s. It was a British store that sold clothing.
Okay, so that's who was desperately looking for a devil statue?
No. Raleigh Davis was desperately looking for a devil statue. C&A was inside a shopping center, a mall, that had been built on the grounds of where the original brewery was. And yeah, so when they found out about this story, they agreed to pay for the statue to be reinstated to its original location, which just happened to be on top of the store, but inside the shopping mall, staring directly at St. Mary's Church. Yeah, absolutely. So this is why there are a generation of kids, myself included, who whenever they used to go shopping in Swansea City Centre would have to get used to the fact that there was a giant statue of the devil peering down at them every time they went and bought a packet of M&Ms. It's a thing. The devil stayed in the quadrant until 2016. The quadrant is okay. The name of the shopping mall that in the middle of Swansea. At which point it was decided that the shopping centre itself was looking a bit run down, and so that needed renovating. And so they took everything down, including the statue of Old Nick. And they donated, rather than put it back up again, because people were a bit, it is a statue of the devil. You know, it's a bit dodgy that it's been up there for 30-odd years as it is. We probably shouldn't put it back up again.
It actually has been there since the 1800s.
Yeah, exactly. Absolutely.
So it's not only 30 years, it's way more than 30 years, and it should still be there. And honestly, I'm going to be disappointed when I finally visit Swansea and I won't see it.
Ah, but you will.
Because where is it now? It's not in its rightful place.
Because even though it's no longer perching above that chamber door, it is now instead in Swansea Museum. It was donated to Swansea Museum, where it's been restored, and they've discovered that it probably isn't a statue in the purest sense of the term.
Oh, how so?
Because they've looked...
Is it the devil in carbonite?
As in Han Solo.
Yes.
That would be amazing if true and also probably impossible. How would that even work? You'd have to...
I don't know, but I have seen the Star Wars movies.
Okay. I'm very proud of you for using a reference.
You can cut that. I'm just saying. So, why is it not a statue?
Okay. Because after studying it, Swansea Museum have discovered that it has markings on its back that indicate that it probably was attached to something previously. So it used to be a part of something else. And the most likely scenario is it was on the mast of a ship. So at some point, there's been a ship trawling around the sea with a statue of the devil attached to its mast.
This is so cool.
Right?
So this statue, because there's a name for this type of statue that is on top of ships that I don't know the name for. But so somehow this disgruntled architect guy or whoever it was who got this brewery going got their hands on this Davil thing from a ship, thought it was cool, put it up there, and then it stayed there through the Blitz.
Through the Blitz?
It was lost, but not really, because it was just in the owner's garage. Then was bought, it was put back in the mall. I mean, it was a mall, then it was put back in the mall. This is so cool. I love this. I love this so much. And yes, it's right that it's in the museum, but it would still be cool if it was in the mall. That is very cool. And I'm curious. I am curious to see this statue. Well, when we did the first Nut of Knowledge with the Tiradentes story and his statue. We posted a picture of his statue here in Belo Horizonte. There are a number of his statues. So are we going to have a picture of the Davil from Swansea to post with this episode?
Yes, of course we are. Yeah.
Okay,
dude,
then.
Dude, I'm not going to leave you hanging, you know. I'm profesh enough to bring materials to a prop party. I'm not a complete jerk.
Well, I really appreciate this amazing story. Thank you very
much
for taking over this week and bringing us this amazing, interesting information. And hopefully when the pandemic ends, people will flock to Swansea to look at its Davil.
Well, I mean, sure. Yeah, absolutely. That's the plan, is that, you know, this is all just a way to drive tourism to Swansea to look at my Davil. Anyway, let's call it night. Do you have any questions? Any further questions? I hope you don't, because that's literally all the information I have in the 5 minutes I had before recording this to look all this up. So
does it grant wishes?
Does it grant wishes? I understand if you tickle its hooves, it will grant you two wishes, one of which can't be for more wishes.
Okay, then. That means I do have to go to Swansea to tickle its hooves. Okay.
Yeah, you need to come to Swansea to tickle Old Nick's hooves.
And, why do you keep calling it Old Nick?
That's its name. Well, and everybody knows it as Old Nick. Everybody knows it as Old Nick. You ask my mum will be like, oh yeah, Old Nick.
Well, okay then. And since you presented the story today, I will do the honors and say thank you very much. Thank you to all our listeners for supporting us. Find us in all the social media hangs, even though we only actually use Twitter. But you can email us.
We should stop doing that, really, honestly.
Using Twitter?
Yeah, yeah.
But then nobody will find us. Nobody will know when we post things like episodes. So we
need to have
at least one social media profile.
Yeah, no. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that honestly, everybody should stop using Twitter at this point
and just
burn it to the ground.
Just really. Because you don't know how to play with others doesn't mean we shouldn't have any fun.
I know very well how to play with others. It's others that don't know how to play with others, I think you'll find, that's causing the problem.
So find us in the social media hangs. Like, subscribe, send it to other people and tell them to like and subscribe, because we are nice people and it would be cool. So yeah.
I mean, Larissa's quite nice. I'm not at all, but that's fine. That's okay. You only have to like one of us, really.
Okay, thanks, everyone. Thank you, Gareth. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Brazil Nuts is an effort by Larissa Peixoto and Gareth Davis. We'd like to thank Worcester Zielinski for our graphic design. We'd also like to thank the essential workers for keeping us safe.
There's so many dick jokes I can make out of that, and I'm not going to because I respect you.
Better, it's funnier if you let it implied. Just leave it under the surface. The problem with you is that you pushed the joke too far.
I think you'll find I've never pushed anything too far. Thank you.
Dude!